Hey, what's good? This is Rich. Quick update before we get into this week's episode. This Wednesday, August 3rd, if you're finding this later, we're launching the Paychecks and Balances newsletter. We'll be sharing top work and money stories we found throughout the week, tips to help you get your bank account up and your debt balance down, career advice, and a lot more. And on top of that, we keep it fun. To sign up, visit paychecksandbalances.com/email. Again, paychecksandbalances.com/email. And that's it. Bouse. Hey, what's good, everyone? This is Rich.
And Wim.
And you're listening to the Paychecks and Balances podcast. And we are back with that hot fire. Yeah, I've been waiting to do that for a long time.
It's lit!
So if you're unfamiliar with the show, we talk all things work and money with the hope we don't bore you to sleep.
And you can tweet along to today's episode using hashtag PayBal17 or pound PayBal17.
Yes.
Age range there. You can also let your Twitter network know what you're listening to on the show by going to paychecksandbalances.com/tweet. And all you got to do is hit send.
Indeed. And so as we always say every episode, the more people we reach, the more people we help. And on this episode, we're going to hit the money minute and also talk about failure. But let's get it popping with that new money minute segment. I've been waiting to do that, too.
Thank you there, kind sir. So this money minute, I think it might be money 5 minute, is going to be redeem yourself. So I got a couple tips here, and I actually did it myself, which is why I'm advising it on the show for, you know, do as I say, not as I do. And number one is a little bit quicker, is redeem unused gift cards. I did some research on this guy. I see news articles about it every now and then. Close to 1 billion went unredeemed on gift cards in 2015. And the average American is stuck with around $100 in unused gift cards right now. So, personal example, I had actually received a $100 gift card for a birthday present 5 years ago. And I like promptly misplaced it. I don't really know. I think I sat it to the side with the best intentions to use it like forever. It was Barnes and Noble. And like, I just never did. I don't know why. And then when I was moving and like, you know, I unearthed it. I was like, and most gift cards, they actually do expire. They start discounting.
Depreciating or whatever?
Yeah, they start like taking away $1 or $5 or something like that a year. So I called Barnes & Noble. Turns out it still had, shout outs to Barnes & Noble, it still had $100 on it. So I actually didn't even end up using it, but I did use it to purchase a gift for a family member this year. Well, it would have been 2015.
I'm glad you ended that way, because I thought you were just going to end it with I didn't end up using it. And I'm like, well, why the hell did you tell that story?
No, I did use it. I was actually
just not for self.
Yeah, I just didn't use it for myself. Now, I don't know how the person who gave me it wasn't a re-gift. I didn't use the birthday gift to then buy this person a gift for themselves.
Even if you did, no one has to know.
You know, I've told you, like, my family now, we've gotten to a point where we are basically like a pyramid scheme of rotating gift cards. Like, every birthday and every Christmas, we just send each other gift cards. And I have advocated on deaf ears for years, like, hey, everybody, how about you just keep your money and we just high five and handshake next time we see each other? Like, we're just sending, like, we're just reallocating money at this point. And my mom and sister, who basically have the powers of China and Russia and the United Nations, have vetoed this decision every time. So, yeah, I think I've given up. But, I mean, does that make any sense to you? Does that make sense to you? What are we doing here, man?
Yo, I wonder the same thing every year. So my mom sends me X amount and I'm like, okay, so that means her gift is only X. It's really just moving money around, and I never come up on the right side of it. It may seem like I do by getting a few gifts, but when I look at what goes out, I end up losing around the holiday season no matter what.
I usually try to give the most expensive gifts or gift card to the youngest person, which used to be, well, I guess still is, but he's getting older, is my nephew. And then everybody's like, well, why does he get more money? I'm like, I guess no good deed goes unpunished is the moral of the story. And speaking of good deeds that shouldn't go unpunished, be sure to redeem your gift cards if you have any lying around the house. And hopefully, maybe I reminded you. There's also
Groupons too, by the way. I've bought Groupons and been like, oh, this is dope. And I have them just sitting there. And then by the time I go back to use them, the special deal has expired. Now I can still use like the dollar amount, the equivalent dollar value, or however they say it. But I've definitely bought my fair share where I haven't used it by the time specified and the deal pretty much expired.
Yeah, I mean, I think this ties back to the conversation we had about fees. I mean, just making your money work for you, not you working for your money. I think we all work hard for our money. So if you are going to get a gift card or you receive a gift card, just make sure you use it. As another tip, which I found out the hard way, but I didn't end up using, when I had that Barnes & Noble gift card, there's like gift card machines. I don't know the exact term, but you can turn in your gift card. It'll take a fee off of it, but then you can use that gift card for any other store. Have you seen these things? They're like vending machines.
Oh, yeah. So, I have seen those before. And I've seen like a couple of websites for like the same type of thing too.
Yeah. The reason I didn't do it is, and I don't know if it's by store, but it was like, to me, I thought the fee was ridiculous. It was like $20. And then you can use it, like they'll basically give you a credit card, well, not credit card, another gift card that's redeemable anywhere, like a MasterCard or something. Yep. Like, I was like, man, I basically just lose $20. I'll go spend it at Barnes & Noble. But I did want to put that out there and let the folks know that that does exist.
Yo, are you good with the rebate things?
You know, actually, yes. Yes, I'm pretty good. I'm trying to think of the last time I did a rebate. It's probably for a cell phone.
It's been a while for me.
Yeah, it's been a minute, but I don't think I ever let a rebate lapse. Because if I'm going to buy something with a rebate on it, like I'm getting all the receipts and paperwork, and they make it so, you know, arduous. Like they try to, I feel, my opinion, they make it so difficult. They want you not to do the rebate. It's like fax it in. I'm like, fax. I got to go find a fax machine.
And then you got to wait 6 to 8 weeks on top of that to get whatever it is that you were waiting for.
Or 6 to 8 weeks for them to tell you, actually, you missed, you know, you didn't send in the, da, 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 da. And I'm like, so anyway, yes. But I do stay on top of those rebates because I was talking to a coworker about this. I expect small things. I actually get more ticked off when small things go wrong than big things go wrong. Like I expect big things to go wrong. I just, you know, that I can reasonably accept that. But when somebody's like, yeah, well, you're not going to get that rebate because you forgot to send in the purchase barcode or whatever, I'm like, yo, like we're about to argue.
Yeah, and that's the BS I was thinking about.
Yeah, I can't let the small stuff go. I can let the big stuff go. I can't let the small stuff go.
Yeah, I remember your mattress story, but I'm not going to go down that road.
Yo, I got that new mattress though.
You did.
And also redeem your, and this is probably the more applicable and more universally applicable, is redeem your unused credit card points, preferably for cash or credit on your statement. Do not redeem your points to buy something else on the credit card.
Which is probably what they want you to do.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I'm telling y'all not to do. And so a little bit of numbers around this from NerdWallet, and I'll link to this one in the show notes. Americans leave $152 million in credit card rewards on the table each holiday season. So I'll link to this article. The only thing that I would say is it's a little bit different than my advice. They're saying that if you're already going to spend the money during the holiday season, use these points to your favor. And what I'm saying is I wouldn't do that. I understand where they're coming from. I guess they're operating under the assumption if you are going to go this path and use the points that you pay it off in January. Don't buy something in December or whatever holiday it may be and then just let it sit on your credit card holding a balance. But if you're listening to this show or you're like myself, you know, despite your best efforts and, you know, however, whatever paved road you may be on, you're probably not going to pay it off the next month.
Nah, so probably
I wouldn't even bother.
Yo,
go ahead.
Yo, do you have a Christmas gifts line item in your budget?
No, I should, but I do not. I'm shocked every year Christmas comes up.
Yeah, I've started at doing one where I just take the amount I think I'm going to spend and I just divide it by 12. So it shows up in my budget for each month so I can kind of account for it. It's pretty useful. Might want to give that a try.
That's actually very impressive. I'll tell you what I do. It used to be when I got paid twice a month, on the 15th, I go, well, guess I'll go on Christmas shopping. So this year, now that I get paid once a month, maybe on the 2nd, I'll go, well, I'll go, and I'm talking about December 2nd, I'll go Christmas shopping. I hear about these urban legends of people who get their Christmas shopping done in like September, and there's like some study that says like the cheapest deals are actually in the summer and yada, yada, yada. I am not one of those people.
Nah.
And it's usually dependent, you know, if we're being honest, which I feel that I said that I would be on the show, or more transparent, I guess I've always been honest. It depends on if I'm in a relationship. So my Christmas budget
is
exponentially smaller when I'm basically just shopping for my family. Because I really just get something for my parents and my sister and my nephew. Like there's literally four people and I'm done. And like I said, since we're just moving gift cards around, I can get all my Christmas shopping done at Walgreens.
Yeah, someone's probably listening like, that's so lazy. That's not thoughtful at all.
Yeah.
I don't really care about that.
Yeah, I don't want to give my thoughts on Christmas and Christmas presents. So I won't go down that dark path.
This time. I'm also a gift card guy too. I mean, that probably doesn't go over as well with Boo Boo Kins, but for everyone else, like, yo, here's a card. Go do what you want. I don't want to buy you something that you want to return or something where you say thanks and it's like a half thanks because you're not really happy about it. Just go get what you want. We're all just moving money around anyway. I hope you come out closer to positive than I do.
And here's how, now you got me on my soapbox. And I was climbing, I was trying to stay off of, now I done climbed up on the soapbox. Here's how, I'm not going to go on the Christmas rant, but here's how I overcame that two ways. And it's been mixed results. So one way is I say, hey, around October, November, send me a list of 5 to 10 things that you want for Christmas. Some women love this. They're like, oh yeah, cool. They'll send me a list of 50 things. And then it's still a surprise, but they know they're going to get something they like, and it's coming off that list. They just don't know what on the list is going to come off of there. And the list changes, and I have like this go-to list. So every year they can add to it, they can take away from it. So that's been successful. But some women are like, you should just know. And I never know, for the record. I never know. And because of that, the other option is, I hate to say this, but I guess the simplest way to say it is I just try to pay attention. So like if we're in the store or something, I really won one year with this. She was like, oh man, I really like that. Like it was like a hair thing or whatever. And like I went back later and got the name of it while she dragged me around the mall and I was miserable, but I went back and got the name of it and she like completely spaced it and I got it for her. So that was like a win, but that's just like, it's so happenstance. It's so like you have to be there in the moment and like they pass by and say, oh, I really like that thing. Then you got to hope they don't go and buy that thing for themselves throughout the course of the year.
Yeah.
So I like the list. I'm a list guy.
I like that too. I figure like it also allows you to forecast the cost of happiness.
I'm gonna move on.
I
think we both somehow go get in trouble because of this.
Yeah. So all that matters is that it affects both our paychecks and our balances. There we go. But anyway,
that was accurate. So the example I have for the credit cards, I actually have two cards right now that just had points sitting on them. I mean, I think I was just sitting around the house and I saw a commercial that was like, you know, redeem your points. I was like, I think I have some points I can redeem. So I logged on and it turns out I did. I had like 2,000 points, which of course never converts to anything. It was like 2,000 points on each, which when it was all said and done, it was about $25 each on each credit card. So $50 that would have expired, I wouldn't have used. So I applied it following my own advice. I applied it to the credit card statement. So I have, well, it's across two, but two $25 credits on each credit card. And if you haven't done this before, it usually takes about 3 to 5 business days. But what I would tie this back to is on episode 4, Paychecks and Balances, we talked about size doesn't matter. And another option is you can use these points to jumpstart a debt payment plan. I'm assuming that if you do have a credit card, that you have money on that credit card, and thus you are probably in debt. I'm not going to judge or guess what that amount may be. But if you have at least $2,000 in debt from that show, we talked about how adding just $10 to your minimum payment each month can save you over $2,400 in interest payments. And you can pay your debt off in a third of the time. And that's just $10. So if this might be an exercise to help you jumpstart that plan, pay your debt off in months instead of years.
That's what I'm doing right now on one of my cards. Or actually, I'm doing that on a couple of the cards. Now, I paid off a chunk and then the balance went down, but rather than just like decreasing my payment, I'm still paying significantly more than the minimum payment to bring that down even quicker. And even the progress that I've made in the last, you know, 6 months has been pretty awesome. I'm like, wow, that's actually made a pretty big dent. I mean, there was a point where I was paying, and we talked about this before, where I was paying like over $100 a month in interest on this card. Yeah. Now, granted, I did balance transfer some of that so I could pay part of it off with no interest at all. But still, it's down from like $100 to being, I think it was like under $40 in interest, which is a pretty big difference. It might still be like, yo, that's kind of high, but compared to where it was before in the triple digits, I'll take this every time.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think what people don't realize is, number one, you're putting $60 back in your pocket every month. And therefore, this year, you'll save yourself $720. And
that was so well done. I wasn't even prepared to do that math.
Well, I think most people, they're like, they don't. It's weird. And I shared a quote on our at TGOS podcast that, you know, we judge ourselves by our intentions and we judge other people by their actions. So because we can't reasonably, oh, well, it's only $10, it's only $20. But when it's month to month, that's when it starts to add up. And I don't think most people work on a month-to-month exercise. They're like, oh, this is convenient, I'll do this now. Or, oh, I'll just pay the minimum because whatever other excuse I can come up with. And they just don't see how it adds up over time. Because like I told you, even I have no excuse, and yet I still make these mistakes. And that I wasn't even paying attention. I was paying $100 in interest a month just because I was letting it sit on the card. It was convenient. I'm like, oh, well, you know, this is a minimum payment. It's not that bad. This, in this instance, I was paying over the minimum, but I didn't go into the details and look at what interest I was paying. In that particular instance, the interest introduction had expired.
Yeah.
So I had rolled into interest, and I was like, oh, okay. So I just need to move this again. So, you know, just to be aware of where your money is going, and really to monitor, really check in. Especially if you have an introductory credit card and you haven't checked in, and usually it's 12 to 18 months, you might want to go look and make sure you're not paying interest on a card that you think you're not paying interest on.
Yeah. And this is one thing where I think, and we talked on the last Q&A episode about how there's so many freaking personal finance and budgeting apps out there. And this is the, one of the things that I actually do like about the ones that I do use, is I get that notification. I think I get one from Mint still, and from Hello Wallet, where it's like, just so you know, you spent this much in interest on cards this month. You might want to take a look at that. And seeing that number, and it's big and bold and in the body of an email, like, yo, you're spending a lot in interest. Seeing that actually does keep me conscious about it and motivate me a little bit to want to drive that down even faster. It's like, yo, that's just money going out the door that could be going toward something else that I'm just accumulating. And I'm only, it's compound interest in the reverse way. That's basically what it is. When you just let it sit there, then you get to a point where you're paying interest on the interest is interest.
Yeah. You said it.
Anyway.
And so to wrap up the money minute portion anyway, what I am not saying: do not open up a new credit card just for the points. We talked about that on another show. That is not what we're advocating for. What I am saying is, if you already have a credit card or gift card, make sure you aren't wasting redeemable points or money that will expire before you benefit from them.
Cool, man. So we can go ahead and jump into From the Trenches. So it looks like you got a story for us this week, and I'm going to add some thoughts where it makes sense.
So I think this is a quick one, but hopefully it'll be meaningful.
Yo, you're better off just not saying that, because every time you do, it becomes one of the longest ever. Pause.
True. So the From the Trenches, what I want to talk about, and I alluded to on the show, and if you follow us at Pay Balances, please send in your advice, and we're soliciting it for this show or another show. If you had a professional shortcoming or something that you've overcome that you had to fail at first. So I'll walk through the story. Maybe that'll help with some of the stories that you may want to send in. We'd be happy to share with our listeners. So the trifecta, as I talked about on the an earlier episode, was to get into an executive leadership program, accomplished, published book, detox album. You know, it's in the final throes, and I'm hoping August, you know, new month, new me. I've got a timeline in my head.
I'm going to hold you to it.
Yeah, man. I'm definitely getting the book cover edited in August, and I'm hoping I can also release in August, and it'll be self-published, and I'm likely going to go through Amazon. So, and then graduate school. So the graduate school is what I want to talk about today. I talked about on another episode, I applied for one program. I heard back from that one. I talked about that. And then I applied to another program. I heard back from them since the show, and I have failed. I was not ready for that. But well done, sir. Well done. And so what I want to share on the show, the point of disappointment, is I'm literally trying to change the person I am at like 33. So this has not been an easy exercise. And I remind y'all of the quote that I heard from an entrepreneur that spoke at our office: is fail hard, fail fast, move on. And that is like a completely foreign concept to me, because I'm so chronological, so step by step. I need structure. And mm-hmm. So normally when I fail, which I'm not used to, and I remember I don't take very well, but I was so not
don't
ready.
Take what you say. You don't take very well. What is that?
I don't take failure very well.
Oh,
like, I don't
failure.
Take,
okay.
Like, I don't take having someone else control my failure very well. Like, if I go out and I try to do something, I don't succeed. I don't really. It doesn't really bother me. But I don't like other people making the decisions for me. So in this particular instance, my plan was in the hands, in this case, of a committee. Like, if someone else's, my fate was in someone else's hand, and I just don't like being in that position. But even despite all that, my friend actually called me out on this. He's like, so how many programs did you plan for or apply for? And I didn't even plan to fail. So I didn't even have a backup plan for if I failed, which was a level of arrogance on my part. Like I was already planning.
That's still funny.
Yeah, I was already planning how I was going to get there. I was looking at different car sharing services because this particular school was out of town and I didn't want to go online. And so like I was already like looking at vehicles that I could maybe potentially purchase or lease. That's how far down the road I was.
Really?
Yeah, already? And they came back. Yeah, and, you know, you get that first line where it's like where anyone tries to soft pedal, it's like, we regret to inform. Like, I was in shock.
Yeah.
So I didn't even have to read the rest of the letter to know that it wasn't going to be we regret to inform you that we have let you in and paid for all your scholarships. Like that's not how that letter was going to go.
Nah.
But I do want to specifically thank the listeners for the support and the feedback that I got on when I got this decision, because I was hurt, but I was probably more, my ego took a hit than anything else. Like,
pretty sure you didn't post a selfie that day.
I did not post a selfie that day. Actually, I might have posted a selfie that day because I needed a little pick-me-up. I need a few likes. A few likes for the spirit.
At least you're honest.
You know. But I just want to specifically shout out, and I'm going to call him Mr. D because I'm not. Yeah, I didn't ask him if I could shout him out on the show. That's his name. I don't think he would care, but I didn't get his permission. But he actually sent me a link that I'll put in the show notes for General Assembly. And he might have single-handedly saved me at least $3,000 and possibly $25,000, which would have been the cost of the graduate program. And so,
that's dope.
Yeah, the reason was he sent me this link. And one, it was an alternative that I had not even considered or knew existed. So it's, this one's General Assembly. There's a number of schools. More people are familiar with Udacity, Coursera. You know any other, like, they're basically the MOOC. You might want to Google that acronym.
Yeah. Those programs are the ones that I'm familiar with. Udacity, I know, is a startup out here. Coursera, same thing. And then...
I believe General Assembly started in California. I was doing a little research.
I remember it from so I know that they have like a whole center in New York City too. Because I remember people were taking their programs there when I was recruiting back on the East Coast. And yeah. I know people who've had pretty good experiences from that program. I don't know too much about it like firsthand, of course, but I know people who've did it and have been happy with what they came away with.
And that's what I like. For this particular avenue, I didn't want to take completely, sorry if that just blew everyone's eardrums. I didn't want to completely take online courses. So I wanted the kind of peer-to-peer networking, in-person, hands-on learning environment, which in itself, maybe that's just a really long way of saying, hey, I'm old and this is what I'm used to.
I was about to say, you don't trust yourself, bro?
Well, I've taken online courses before and I just feel like I don't get out of it what I need to. And my thing is, if I'm going to take an online course, and this is just my opinion, I'm like, well, why am I paying for it? Like, I just go and get a free education plan versus paying someone some ridiculous amount of money for to take courses online for information that I could otherwise find for free. But I understand, you know, it's the whole piece of paper thing, and arguably you could say the same thing about college as a whole. So I get why people do it, but it's not the educational path that I wanted to pursue. So I took this link and information from research that I did to some networks and contacts that I have in my job, which, again, reemphasizes the importance of having mentors, peers, and coaches and sponsors. And we might need to do a show on coaches, sponsors, and mentors, but we've definitely talked about mentors and advocate for the benefit of a mentor relationship. So I went to some people that I trust, and they were like, hey, this is great. This is something. I went to people who work in a hiring manager capacity. So I was like, hey, I thought I'd be going to graduate school for this type of program. I'm looking at some alternatives. You know, if you saw this on someone's resume, would this be something that you would either see as equivalent or you would give this person a chance? Mm-hmm. And pretty much across the board, the answer to that was yes. Now, I'll be transparent that most of them said, you know, the master's is the pedigree. That's where we start. But by no means would I say, oh, this person only has, therefore I wouldn't, you know, invite them in the door to sell themselves. And another really good piece of advice I had from someone was, you also have folks with master's degree who still aren't working in their master's degree field. So yeah. I'm going to look at the master's but I'm going to look at what you've been doing in the last few years. So if you don't have a master's, yet you've been performing this function or this job role, I'm going to see that as equivalent to having that degree or moving in that direction. So basically, he was saying, what have you done to refine or prepare for this transition? So very helpful exercise. And I am fortunate. I'm actually fortunate to work for a couple, but even the one that I'm at right now, they do a tuition reimbursement. And if I go this route, which I believe I am, the next session is October, it would be completely paid for.
Which would be dope.
Which thus, depending on what happens next, that's $3,000 definitely that I wouldn't have to pay. And if I'm able to leverage this to get the outcome, which is moving into the field of data analytics that I want to do anyway, then that saved me $25,000 to $50,000. Plus, if I move into the field in the future, I might be able to look at having my master's degree reimbursed, except I'll already be doing the job. So, good.
Yeah, I was going to say there's always a path to make it happen. And what you said about the going to people and having them say, hey, you know, while we may look at the master's first, we're not going to shy away from this if someone has this type of background or completed this type of program. I was going to say, I get a lot of people or managers that will, or at least someone on the interview panel who's going to ask the person, so what have you done to keep up with your industry, or tell me one thing you've done to better yourself in the last year? So even being able to say that you're taking these classes because you want to continue to refine, strengthen, move toward, however you want to say that, that's something that just works in your benefit in itself. So it may not be the master's, but it still shows that you're committed to developing and moving toward whatever that whatever that particular area is that you're exploring further, which, of course, you add on to that, that you have 10, at least in your case, a decade of experience. Like a decade of experience, I think a manager is usually going to take that over like a master's and like 3 years of experience.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting you said that, because kind of how I've been selling this, because I have to go through the whole business justification to get the reimbursement. I'm confident, although I'm contingent now, that I'll be able to do so. But I've been saying that going through this program will undoubtedly make me better at my current job. So I'm kind of on the...
If you're like me, you probably hate grocery shopping. And if you're like me, you probably hate figuring out dinner every night. And that's where HelloFresh comes into play. So HelloFresh is the meal kit delivery service that makes cooking fun, easy, and convenient. Each week, HelloFresh creates new recipes with step-by-step instructions designed to take around 30 minutes for everyone from novice chefs like myself to seasoned home cooks. And one of the best things about this is if you're cooking just for yourself, each meal could last you 2 days. I discovered that when I was making this sizzling beef stir fry last week. I promise you, it really was sizzling. And if you're wondering how the food gets delivered, it arrives at your doorstep in a special insulated box for free, 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 free. So for $35 off your first week of deliveries, visit HelloFresh.com and enter paychecks. Again, visit HelloFresh.com and enter paychecks when you subscribe. Check it out.
The fence of, is this the role or job that I want to do for the next 20, 30 years? And I've talked about that a few times, how that decision's gone through my head. And I shared this advice on another show. I shared this with a friend recently and they both liked it. So I'll share it again for the folks that are tuning into the show for the first time. Looking at the 2, 3, 4, or 5 bands above you, like, are those roles that you want to do? Look at your manager or your supervisor or your lead or whatever the equivalent is and say, if I promote into that role, does that person look happy? Would I be happy doing it?
Yeah.
And, you know, answering that question and using that to inform your progress now, how you prepare for that role, or if not, are you content staying in the current job function, or does that mean that that's a choice that you need to face, you know, now or sooner than later, I would say. And as I said, I think most people wait until they're frustrated and disappointed and angry and basically at their wit's end, then start their job search or their job hunt or their...
Then it's torture at that point.
Right. Yeah. Then every day is a bad day versus, you know, what's my plan? And we talked about the 90-day plan versus a 5-year plan. For improving or succeeding or moving in or out of this position.
Yeah. And another question you might want to ask yourself is, especially if you're on the brink, like you're starting to experience those unsavory feelings, and you can ask yourself, is there anything I can do to make the situation better? Because some people, they just, something bad happens and then they just complain about it. They don't try to do anything to improve their situation at all. Whereas maybe by having a conversation with someone or trying to work on a different type of project could increase your satisfaction during that same time. I don't know why I went up a few notes with that, but it could increase your satisfaction during that time where you still may be thinking about going elsewhere versus you feeling that you're desperate. And that's the thing. You actually could end up costing yourself money by waiting until you're so frustrated that every day is miserable, because then you're more focused on taking the first thing that comes to you because you're so desperate to get out of there.
Agreed, agreed. So the point of disappointment, and the reason I named it this way, is back in the day, I would have let this no decision derail my progress. And I tend to be, or at least I'm trying to change, I tend to take the one negative and ignore all the other positive. So I didn't want to do that this time. So this no would have discouraged me, possibly to the point of indecision and paralysis. So instead, I did take, and I'm trying to be aware of, like, sometimes you do have to take a day, a week, a month, a year, maybe not a year, to wallow in self-pity versus immediately starting to explore other alternatives. I took a little different approach. I took basically one day. I actually took off work. I told my boss, hey, I got this decision. I'm not in the mood to be here, and I'm not going to be in the mood to be here tomorrow. And it was a Friday, and I only work a half day on Fridays. I was like, look, if you give me Friday off, I promise I'll show up on Monday, you know, in good spirits and everything. I just got to self-medicate, get my ego back in check, get back to equilibrium, and I'll be good on Monday. And he was very understanding. He's like, yo, I get it. You're disappointed. You're not going to be able to put out. And this is the good thing about having a good boss. You're not going to be able to put out the output that I would need from you. And I told him, I found out on a Thursday. I was like, look, I'm going to be in a bad mood for the rest of the day. I apologize, but I don't plan on changing that. So I just suggest nobody really talk to me and leave me alone. I have a really good reason to be in a bad mood. He's like, I understand. Just let people know that you're in a bad mood. I was like, cool. And, you know, I didn't come in Friday. And to my word, by Monday, I was good. I had had time. So in this case, it was 72 hours. It took the weekend to basically get back to equilibrium. Yeah. And I do believe more in self-care now, taking care of yourself mentally and physically. I think I've always been, you know, it's cycles, but I've always been big on the physical, been running track since I was like 8. So that's not really been difficult for me to keep up. But mentally, I think people do, you don't work yourself out mentally as much as you should. So I plan to use August as my quote unquote mental break. And I'm going to focus only on the successes I've had to date, the work program that I got into. I'm going to get this book pushed out and then kind of get back on the horse. And I think by September, I'll be again exploring school programs and basically determining what's next.
Yeah, man. And so it's definitely important. You know, you talk about having being able to take that time to separate. And because I've gotten bad news before about stuff and I'm still at work anyway, which is not the wisest thing, because then you get a bunch of people. Oh, you know, you don't seem like yourself today. What's wrong? Which then just makes it even worse. Because it's like, yo, just leave me alone. And then because you're telling people to leave you alone, they want to know more about what's wrong. And then you got to have that conversation like 5 or 6 times. So, yeah, there are definitely situations where you're better off just staying home, cooling out for the day, playing some video games, whatever your self-medication is. And, oh, I meant to ask you. So did you actually tell your boss that you were going to self-medicate?
I actually might have said those exact words, but I've already developed a pretty good relationship with my boss. And I mean, he's pretty understanding. Now he has a high expectation, but he's pretty understanding when it comes to that. Like, you know, he actually wrote one of my letter of references. So he knew recommendations. He knew that this decision was kind of hovering out there. And then he knew how invested I was in it being successful. So it wasn't surprising to him when it occurred. And I mean, I'm not going to lie, like, my mood instantly switched. Like, I got it at like 9 a.m. I was sending out happy emails like, hey, you know, there's a case of the Thursdays. Happy. And then like by 12, I was like, look, everybody get this in. So it was clear to everyone that I was definitely in a different mood than I was before I got that decision.
Yeah, I understand, brother. I understand, man.
So the one thing I would share with the listeners, especially more the younger listeners, is this is easier said than done, and it's going to sound a little bit counterintuitive, but the more bad decision points you have over a lifetime, the easier it is for you to cope, because you have other baselines to work from. So I've been told no before, and yet I've seen myself overcome. I have failed, and I've seen myself get up. So I have those to work from. And so I just want to share with folks that first time is going to be rough. Your first difficult decision, your first time that something that you were really hoping for, invested in, going south wrong or just outright denied, that's going to hurt. And you'll definitely need a longer recovery period. But just recognize that, don't let that disappointment be your stopping point. I think that's where because then you're failing twice. And I feel like that's where I failed before, whereas not only did I fail and did not succeed, but in some instances, I never tried again.
Yeah, man. And I was thinking of this quote. People often miss success because they quit just before they get to it. And it reminded me of this story from the book Think and Grow Rich. And I had to go look it up to make sure that I didn't botch it completely. And so there were these two guys who were digging for gold back in the day, like 1800s, like 49ers gold rush or whatever. And they'd uncovered some and were like, cool, that's what's up. Let's get this money. And they kept digging, and then the gold started to run out, and they got to a point where they were like, you know what? We're not getting any more gold. Forget this. Let's get out of this industry. And ended up selling their digging equipment to this junk man, who was not a drunk man, though he may have been. And he had a mining engineer come take a look at the land. Turned out, had those first two dudes who were digging just looked 3 feet to the right, they would have struck it mega rich. But they gave up just before they hit that mega payload. And I think that that's something that a lot of people do when they face some type of adversity or something doesn't go as planned, or they face that first rejection. And especially, you hear this a lot in sales where it's like, you know, nine no's to every yes. So it's good in a way. But a lot of people, as soon as they hit an obstacle or something doesn't go well, or they have a failure that feels public, they give up on whatever that thing is instead of putting in that extra work. And who knows? You never know how close you really are if you just kind of retool. And even in this example, the guy was like, all right, like, I don't really know too much about this land, how to find this gold. I got this equipment. I could dig and try to figure this out. Or I could talk to someone who might be more of an expert in this area, who might be able to give me more perspective to get me on the right track. And that's what happened here. I think that's like the first time I've been able to really tie a story together like that. Thanks, brother.
Well done, sir. Well done. And y'all know, or should know, if you've been listening for a while, I'm trying out these positive affirmation things. So one of the other things that I'm doing is I've always liked quotes. There's just something about quotes that I always like. I collect them. And if I can, I'll source back to where they came from, maybe read the book for where they originated. So I don't have the source of this one, but I saw it online somewhere. So what I've been doing is collecting them in my phone now. And one that I saw, and I think I shared on @PayBalances, is eventually you'll end up where you need to be with whom you're meant to be with and doing what you should be doing. And I think that's kind of one of many that's going to help me move through this journey and see what the next step is.
It's pretty positive, man. I like that. It makes it feel like things are going to have a happy ending. No pause.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a helpful exercise, this whole, I think the whole, the school of thought is positive affirmation, but basically just trying to surround myself, literally, physically, mentally, maybe spiritually, with just positive things and focusing on the positive. Some cup half full, and it has proven helpful. I'm not gonna lie. I've definitely been able to overcome more, but probably more quicker than I would have before. Instead of just kind of wallowing in self pity.
You know, it's interesting because there are some people who when it comes to like the personal development and affirmations, they're like, or they used to be like, oh, that stuff is just like, you know, it's whack, it's lame, blah, 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 blah. But then I notice over the years, some of the people who used to hate that stuff and not really believe in it, I find them posting articles to it on Facebook or whatever else. Or they're like, oh, I just had this great read. And it's like, ha. So now you do believe. And I think sometimes it takes people a few years to realize that. Given a try to some of the affirmation type stuff or some of the personal development thinking concepts might actually help you get to a better place with what you're doing. You know, it's not going to work for everybody, but of course I believe in trying out anything that may work that's not going to ultimately be destructive in the long term. And I don't think reading or saying positive things to yourself fall into that bucket.
Well, I heard another one, and I actually have it here on my little, I hate to call it vision board, but it is a board with visions. And that is feed strength, starve weakness. And I actually heard that one recently. And I think it's actually a lady that said it, but she had heard it from a book of Stephen Covey's book, I think, The Speed of Trust. And basically, I think most of us do the opposite of that, is we focus our feed, our weaknesses, and starve our strength. And I'm trying basically not to. I think I've developed a number of skills and things that have been beneficial to myself, and I think will be beneficial to others. And I'm trying to focus more on that instead of the And honestly, they've been smaller losses. They still hurt. They have a significant impact. But instead of focusing on those, it's focus on the next win or the next victory or the next race.
Definitely, man. And that seems like a good place for us to hit the closeout. So I want to thank everyone for listening to this episode of Paychecks and Balances. And if you have topics you'd like to hear us cover, you can email us at info@paychecksandbalances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter @PayBalances.
And don't forget to share the show with your network. You can tweet it out without having to think. Go to paychecksandbalances.com/tweet.
Yeah, we make it really simple. Like, really, you type that in, pulls up your Twitter. The tweet is already populated. You just hit send. Like, it's super simple. And of course, the more people we reach, the more people we help, which means the more people you can help by helping us reach them. Anything else you'd add, good sir, before we officially close out, wrap it up, finish up, be gone?
No, sir.
All right, cool. So, again, thanks for listening. Until next time, be safe. We out. Peace.